Oh, come on. Fuck off. Is not.
Okay. Mike and
Like,
I, did you also on Mike and I visited the Ralston House?
yeah.
There's a lot of history there. I mean, John Sherman was there, Grant was there, and right now nothing but rats and pigeons.
I tried to convince Mike to go halvesies with me. I was going to buy it. We could split
Yeah, but they don't take negative offers.
it.
It was a shame. I mean, at one time it was a showpiece on the West Coast when he was there, and so much of San Francisco history for the first 10 years after the Civil War revolved around that house, and just gone.
It's too
Most
bad.
coins. I mean, the trade dollar was probably born there in terms of a concept. The Coinage Act of 1873 was discussed in detail. The refining arrangements, where Ralston looted the U.S. sub-treasurer in San Francisco to keep his bank afloat. All that happened there.
It's amazing.
It was really. Can everybody, if you're not talking, shut your mic off. We're getting feedback, and there's like seven mics that are open. We're also 3 minutes out. We are not yet at quorum, so I did send an email out. I know Jeannie is having a hard time getting on, so I did. Andrew, if you're watching on the digital thing, I added you to her email. So we have to wait until we have a quorum.
Is Donald going to show up for this meeting? Does anybody know?
I believe so.
He's supposed to.
Okay, because he probably should lead off in our discussion.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to tap both you and Donald to lead off.
I was hoping to duck under the table and disappear.
Uh-uh.
All right, I'm turning my mic off. I'll be nice.
And Mr. Saunders, if you could turn yours off. Thank you. Okay, we do have seven now, but we do have 2 minutes out, Peter, so just FYI.
Right.
Oh, Annalise is actually on too, so I didn't see her. Someone let her in without telling me. So that's eight. I don't see Hardcore. I don't see Donald. And I don't see Jeannie. I told Jeannie to call in on the phone if she can't get on.
Okay. Just, yeah. Now, hopefully Donald will join us soon.
Okay, it is 2 o'clock. Before I hand this over to Peter, we should be going live in a second. This is a reminder that this meeting is streamed live, as well as it is recorded by audio. video and transcript. So please note that this is a public meeting and that is why it is being recorded. And on that reminder, please keep your mics shut off. We've been having some issues with Teams lately. If you have a weird sounding voice, I don't know why Teams has been doing it to some people. But I just ask you close your mics so we don't get a lot of feedback. And on that, Peter, it's 2 o'clock. I will hand it off to you. As long as the court reporter, are you good to go?
I am.
Okay, so we will go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jen. Good afternoon. I call to order this meeting of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee for Tuesday, April 15th, 2025, and the time is 2:01 p.m. I'd like to remind members that we are participating via video conference, so you should mute your phone or microphone on the Microsoft Teams program when not talking, and please do announce your name when you speak for the transcript, as well as for the public listening. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce the members of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee, so please respond with present when I call your name. Arthur Bernstein, representing the general public.
Present.
Thank you very much. Dr. Harcourt Fuller, recommended by the Speaker of the House. Harcourt has not joined us yet. Dr. Christopher Capozzola, the member specially qualified in American history.
Present.
Thank you very much. Jeannie Stephen Solman, the member specially qualified in sculpture or medallic arts. She has not joined us yet. John Saunders, recommended by the House Minority Leader.
Present.
Thank you, John. Michael Moran, recommended by the Senate Majority Leader.
Present.
Donald Scrinci, recommended by the Senate Minority Leader.
Present.
Sam Gelbard, the member specially qualified in numismatics.
Present.
Thank you. Kellen Horde, representing the general public.
Present.
Annalise Purdy, representing the general public.
Present.
And I am Peter Van Alphen, the member specially qualified as a numismatic curator and currently the chairperson of the CCAC. I believe we do have a quorum. So the agenda for today's public meeting includes the approval of minutes and letters to the Secretary of the Treasury from the February 18, 2025 public meeting and discussion of the 2027 and future years of American Liberty 24-karat gold coin and silver medal themes. A short meeting today. But before we begin our proceedings, I'd like to ask the Mint Liaison to the CCAC, Ms. Jennifer Warren, if we are aware of any members of the press who are watching remotely this public meeting.
Good afternoon. This is Jennifer Warren. Sophia Metamori of Numismatic News, Mike Unser, Coin News Media Group, LLC, Larry Jewett, Coin World, and Paul Gilks, Coin World.
All right. Welcome, all of you. For the record, I would also like to confirm that the following Mint staff are in attendance today. So please indicate present after I have called your name. Megan Sullivan, Acting Chief of Office of Design Management.
Present.
Thank you. Roger Vasquez, Senior Design Specialist.
Present.
Russell Evans, Design Manager.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Hanchock, Design Manager.
Present.
Thank you. Sukrita Bajal, Design Manager.
Present.
Joseph Mena, Chief Engraver. Joe, are you with us today? I thought I saw you earlier. Michael,
this
Costello.
Is Jennifer. He's on. I think his mic's not working.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Jim. Michael Costello, Manager of Design and Engraving.
Present.
Jennifer Warren, Director of Legislative and Intergovernmental Affairs and Liaison to the CCAC.
Present.
James Kennedy, Counsel to the CCAC.
Present.
And Leah Johnson, Acting Senior Government Affairs Specialist. Yeah, I saw you say present, even though your microphone is fine. Yes, thank you. I'd like to begin with the men. Are there any issues that need to be addressed before we start?
This is Jennifer Warren, none that I'm aware of.
Thank you. So the first order of business for this committee is the review and approval of the CCAC minutes and letters to the Secretary of the Treasury from our public meeting on February 18th, 2025. Are there any comments on the documents? All right, hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes and letters?
This is Art Bernstein, I move approval.
All right, is there a second?
Jean Stevens-Solman, I second the motion.
Thank you, Jean, and welcome. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any objections? All right, well, hearing none, without objection, the minutes and the letters are approved. All right, so now moving on to the one item of business for this meeting today, which is the discussion of themes for the American Liberty 24-karat gold coins and silver medal for 2027 and future years. I will hand it now over to Megan Sullivan, Acting Chief of Design Management, to give us some background on this. So Megan, if you would, please.
Thank you very much, Peter. The United States Mint launched the American Liberty 24-karat high-relief gold coin and silver medal program in 2015. The Secretary of the Treasury authorized the program based on the Mint's statutory authority to issue gold coins and silver medals. The purpose of the program is to feature modern depictions of American Liberty on the obverse, with bold images of an American eagle symbolizing freedom on the reverse. Designs explore a traditional numismatic subject using modern depictions. Released biennially, the 1-ounce 24-karat high-relief gold coins and 1-ounce silver medals share the same designs, but inscriptions differ as required. With the release of the 2009 ultra-high-relief double eagle coin, the United States Mint fulfilled the original vision of Augustus St. Gaudens' celebrated 1907 double eagle gold coin. The original coins were produced in low relief due to limitations in early 20th century technology. The Mint created the American Liberty Program to focus on modernizing the depiction of Liberty, a numismatically significant and quintessentially American symbol. Mint artists were challenged to depict Liberty in an innovative and contemporary manner. The resulting design of the 2015 American High Relief Gold Coin and Silver Medal featured a modern depiction of Liberty. The Mint issued the 2017 American Liberty 225th Gold Coin and Silver Medal with a striking portrayal of Liberty as an African-American woman. In 2018, the design was featured again on 1/10-ounce 24-karat gold coins. The 2019 American Liberty High Relief Gold Coin and Silver Medal built on the success established with the first three coins in the series. The corresponding silver medal became the first in the series to be produced in a high relief 2.5-ounce version. The 2021 American Liberty High Relief Gold Coin and Silver Medal presented a new and modern portrayal of American Liberty. The design featured a wild American Mustang bucking off a Western-style saddle, evoking the way Americans threw off the yoke of British rule during the American Revolution. The 2023 American Liberty High Relief Gold Coin and Silver Medal explored the concept of liberty through perseverance. The design featured a bristlecone pine, a species native to California, Nevada, and Utah, thought to be one of the oldest living organisms on Earth. The silver medal had the additional inscription, "We shall persevere." And the 2025 American Liberty will be launched later this summer. That concludes our presentation.
And Megan, thank you very much. Are there any technical or legal questions from the committee about the program before we open the floor to discussion of potential themes? All right. Don't see or hear any. John, are you? Can't quite tell if you're trying to signal that you're having a comment or not. Do not. Okay. My understanding is that this program began with a lot of interest and encouragement from the CCAC. So I would like to begin with two of our longest serving members of the CCAC, Donald Scorinci and Michael Moran. We'll start with Donald first, who I'm hoping can provide a little bit of background to this, as well as provide some of their thoughts on future themes. So Donald, if you would, please.
So there are no future themes. There's one theme for this whole series, right? And that is to empower the U.S. Mint artists under the supervision of Joe Mena to come up with, to think about, and to conceive of new images of liberty, images of liberty that every American can identify with and can have a new meaning, right? We have the images of liberty from the past have really been, historically based, right? We had, we had the cap in the early coinage of America, which if you poll anyone in grammar school or high school, you will have a very small fraction of people who know what that is, or and even less who know what it meant, and no one who has any feeling for that image in the 21st century. That's a 230-year-old image. It is dated, and it had emotional impact when it was released, for sure. Right, it was very special. French Revolution was happening. American Revolution had just happened. These are America's first coins. You know, very exciting indeed, and had meaning. Right, freedom from tyranny. And during the Civil War, we came up with other images of liberty. Right, that were really Civil War era images, the facies. Right, you see on the back of the dime. Right. The shield that continues to this day on the back of the penny. These images of liberty, these images of freedom, these images of unity and the United States, the concept of United States, as opposed to I'm a citizen of Virginia, and that concept, that began after the Civil War as a result of the Civil War. Those were images of liberty that meant something to a lot of people in the 19th century, the late 19th century, right? In the 20th century, everything changed. We went through the American Renaissance, which, I won't touch on because we have the leading authority on that period with my colleague, Mike Moran, who wrote the definitive work, on that. And, but things changed, and right now, I think it's safe to say, if you took those Civil War era images and poll the grammar schools and the high schools and the colleges, very few people are going to be able to really even identify what they meant and why they're there, and practically no one. I won't say no one, because I know at least one former member of the CCAC who, that nickel, that shield in the back of that nickel meant something to, but I don't know many people who it does. And so we're not communicating that this is the greatest nation in the world, right? We need, this series is designed to give the artists the challenge, because we can't design. We can comment on design, but we are not here to design. That's what the artists are for. And they hear artists, see artists, and speak artists. They live artists. They're artists, right? We need artists to tell us what designs of liberty. And from this process, and this is an experimental program. That's what it was designed for. The CCA really pushed it. It's one of the few programs that the CCAC really can take a claim to saying everything to do with this series. So it's a very special series to the CCAC historically. And, from this series of designs that we're hoping to come up with in this program, you know, the new liberty is there. It's waiting to be uncovered and revealed to us. And that's what this program's about.
All right, Donald, thank you very much. Mike Moran, would you like to follow up on that?
I can get it off mute. There we go. I'm not going to repeat what Donald said because he said it very nicely and very concisely. I will say that while we're talking about the liberty, we should also look at the reverse. And if you look at the series that we've issued up until now of the American Eagle, it is indeed a new and modern and fresh approach to the American Eagle. I think the program on the reverse has been highly successful. I would question if we have not strayed a bit off of the original intent of a new and modern liberty in a new and different way with some of the more recent images that we portrayed there, the horse and the tree. Even though I know that the horse won an award and the tree did as well. I think it was our hope that the artists over a body of work over several years and more than several years would evolve, help us to the country to evolve in terms of what it wanted to see and how it wanted to define the liberty of the 21st century. And I think that the way to do that is to give them a completely free hand and tell them to have at it, and let's see what turns up. That's all. Donald, you did a beautiful job. I was chair of that committee, by the way, and Jeannie was on it. It was fun to do. It was one of my stellar accomplishments. I'm proud to be a part of that committee, subcommittee. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. And Jeannie, I'd like to follow up with you on that as well. So if you would please.
Well, all that I can add to what Donald said, which was very wonderful overseeing, and Michael, I was very excited about especially the last two liberties because they were really outside the box. I mean, we were going beyond Lady Liberty. We were talking about liberty. So when we had the Bucking Bronco, you know, that really screamed liberty. And also, I think the perseverance of the Bristle Pine was also a good addition. This time, it seems like we've used up some pretty good ideas. So this time, it's like we have to go beyond what we've already done. And I think that that's a challenge. It's a challenge for the artists. It's a challenge for, I think, us as a committee to try and help the artists think about the next thing to do. But I do encourage them to somehow sail above these ideas and reach out for something new.
All right, Jeannie, thank you very much. Chris Capozzola, if you would please.
All right. So I will just make a couple of comments as someone who's not here when the American Liberty Program kind of got off the ground, but I've really come to value it as a portfolio and a program, and appreciate the effort at modern depictions of liberty, and also agree that some of the Eagle work here has been really remarkable. I appreciate the way that the artists in the last couple of years have turned to places where Americans may experience liberty. Right, as a kind of where they may experience the emotional state of freedom, namely in the natural world, right? And that by looking to trees, to the Mustang, et cetera, you know, that's a really rich vein of material. I think the challenge now, and I'll just pose this for the artists on the same premise, right? I have no artistic solution to this problem. That's someone else's job, is to convey maybe different aspects of liberty that Americans share, but haven't necessarily touched, right? And so, of course, you know, some of that is liberty from British tyranny in the colonial period. I think, you know, we've got that base covered. The other I would point to two challenges that I would like to set. One is economic liberty, however broadly defined, not necessarily, free market capitalism, but certainly, some aspects of social mobility, the American dream, broadly speaking. And then the second would be religious liberty, which is sort of fundamental to the earliest migrations in the 17th century, down to the present, and sort of ways in which Americans have experienced certain kinds of liberty that I would love to see instantiated on a coin. And apologies, I think my network connection is not that great, so I hope you heard me.
No, it sounded great, Chris, and thank you very much for your comments. Art Bernstein, if you would please.
This is Art Bernstein. I don't have much to add other than I would say that to the extent I can provide any input, when Megan went through the historical perspective, every one of those designs appealed to me. I thought they were all terrific, and there was nothing about any of them I didn't like. And so keep up the good work. Thank you.
All right, Art, thank you very much. Sam Gelbert, if you would please.
Thank you, Peter. This is Sam Gelbert. I also don't have a ton to add right now. And I really see all sides of the issue. I agree with Art completely. I love all the designs that have come out in this program so far. I love that they do show liberty in a modern depiction. And the only thing that I keep coming back to is that although most Americans would not understand the older allegories of liberty, say in the Phrygian cap, which again, right after the French Revolution, understood some understandable symbolism completely. The thing is, I think we really need to consider, and maybe this is more of a subject and a marketing issues, sales and marketing, we need to always consider that who the mint is making these coins and metals for. Numismatic collectors, primarily, if not almost near exclusively. So that's the big challenge I have. I love the modern renditions, but I hear in the numismatic community, of course, there's always rumblings. People always say we need to go back to the older designs, but I see the viewpoint where we need to refresh, a lot of the images that we see on our coins and metals. So, Art said, artists, keep up the good work. You guys are doing a heck of a job. I'm not sure what the real answer is, but I'm very curious to see what some of the future images are. Hope we get to see them very soon. And that's all I have, Peter. Thank you.
Great. Sam, thank you very much. Dr. Harcourt Fuller, if you would please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Dr. Harcourt Fuller. I think that Donald and Mike, Jeannie, and everyone else spoke beautifully about the program. I don't have a lot to add except one or two thoughts, and I would not pretend to speak for artists. I'm not one, at least not that type of artist, but I think that when I imagine liberty it, sort of in the future, right, futuristic liberty, space comes to mind, or technology, right, which is what a lot of which defines modernity, right? And please forgive me for channeling Star Trek, space, the final frontier. I just really think that if the artist could at least use the concept of space or technology as one aspect of a reimagining of liberty, I think that, I'd love to see if they come up with anything. And then the second thought that comes to mind is when you think about the arts, they're both old and new, right? Movement, right? So the movement of the body, right, which encapsulates freedom of movement. So some type of, perhaps, I mean, if you think about ballet or the freedom of, when movement in terms of whatever genre of dance. I think that might be a beautiful conceptualization of what liberty might mean reimagined. So those are some of my thoughts. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Fuller. John Saunders, if you would please.
Thank you, John Saunders here. Two things. I like what Chris said. I don't know how you would do it artistically, but celebrating the American dream and economic freedom, I think that's an important part of what we have here, part of our success and why we're prosperous. So artists out there, if you can think of a way of doing that, I love the idea. Thinking of themes, you know, freedom, I think of something soaring. Well, we have an eagle already, so we can't have a bird soaring, but the eagle is on the back. We could possibly have a dove soaring, but I was thinking maybe a sailing ship, you know, a full old-time sailing ship, one of John Paul Jones's ships or something like that, but instead of in the water, flying into space or the air as a motif. Another thought that came to me was something uncaged. Again, going back to the bird, I thought initially a canary uncaged, but it could apply to a lion, or if we want to stick with American animals, it could be a bear or a mountain lion, something escaping its cage or coming out of the cage as a way of demonstrating freedom. I also like Parker's idea of doing something concerning space. I mean, we have coins of the space shuttle going up, and I don't know whether, you know, creating a starship, you know, not exactly like the Enterprise, but, so we're not promoting a particular thing, but excuse me, my phone rings at precisely the wrong time, and it's a house phone that I can't turn off. Anyway, I like that idea. And I also have a question. How did the Mint get to make a 1/10th ounce that 1 year? I don't think, if I remember the conversation right, it's in our automatic purview to do something like that. But it was an interesting idea. And it certainly takes the coinage to a lot more people, a lot more affordable. And that's pretty much one question and tossed out a few ideas.
Thank you very much, John. Is there somebody from the Mint who would be able to answer the question that John just raised?
I believe that would be a better question for sales and marketing. And I don't think we have anybody from sales and marketing here. It looks like Donald might have an answer. Actually, or Mike.
I do. Oh, Greg's here. Greg's
go ahead.
More authoritative than me.
Well, no. if the question, if I heard the question correctly, is where did we get the authority to make a 10th ounce gold coin? What year were we talking about?
17, Greg. The one with the African American lady was really.
Yes. The standing authority gives the secretary very broad discretion to make gold coins of any denomination, any size, any fineness. So we haven't always exercised that discretion, but when it comes to gold coins, we have very broad statutory discretion. So that would have been a business decision on the part of the sales and marketing division.
Greg, this is Johnny.
Myself on this, I really think, first of all, it was the first time that the Mint had ever issued without being ordered to do so under legislative authority, an African-American on an American coin. And it turned out to be a very popular and very beautiful rendition of an African-American liberty. It was extremely popular. The design reduces well to a smaller gold coin. And I think the marketing people gave it a try. Now, I don't know how successful it was because we haven't done it since. But at the time, it was certainly worth an experiment.
This is
Thank
John.
You all. Oh, yeah, John, go ahead.
Another question. Did it have a denomination on it, the 1/10th ounce?
I believe it did. I'd have to go back and look and see what that was. Somebody, maybe somebody else can answer that question. But it would have, had to.
This is Sam Gelbert. I believe it was a $10. It was denominated as $10.
And by the way, this is Greg for the quarter report.
Thank you,
Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
This is Harcourt Fuller.
Go ahead, Harcourt.
I do have one of them, so I don't know if you can see it well, but I have one.
Lovely. Thank you.
One last comment. I would encourage the Mint to look into it again, especially given where the price of gold is. It gets awfully expensive for someone to put away 1 ounce coins. And the idea of making a coin as opposed to metal, again, is a much broader collector market for the coins. And as such, I think it would be something we should consider doing.
This is Mike Moran again. This time I'll identify myself. The one key point that we had envisioned in the original program was that these would all be high relief. When you go to a 1/10 piece, ounce piece, you have much less metal to move. It's going to be much more difficult to keep the relief. So you're going to lose that aspect of it when you go to that. I don't argue with that the economics are such that on a silver or gold piece, it's going to be prohibitive.
All right, thank you. We should move on. We still have a couple more people who I'd like to call on for comments. Kellen Horde, if you would please.
Sure, thank you. This is Kellen Horde. For me, as I trace the kind of the path of the series, what I saw is starting with were kind of different allegorical depictions of liberty, kind of in the old vein, but moving forward slowly. In the last couple of years, we've moved with the Bronco and the tree, and I think the sunflower was the last one we recommended, into more nature themes and tracing American liberty, like Chris said, kind of where it's occurring, where freedom is occurring. But to me, the next logical step is to look towards who has the power to defend it and promote it and define it. And to me, that's American citizens. And so what I'd love to see in the next couple of years here, depictions of Americans, of real people who are increasingly going to be responsible for and have always been responsible for deciding whether or not they wanted to defend and promote liberty, deciding what liberty actually meant and how it applied in the context of our country. And so I think there could be some really interesting artistic depictions of Americans and their role in defending and promoting and defining liberty. So I really love to see some options on that. And extending out of that, as one design I'd like to see in particular come back was the one that we had in the last cycle with the mother walking her daughter along. I would just love to see that design again for consideration. It's been a consistently strong one the committee's repeatedly expressed interest in, among any other new designs artists come up with, because that one continues, has stuck with me the last couple of years now, so I hope it might stick with other collectors as well. And I think that's it for me. Thank you.
Great. Kellen, thank you very much. Annalisa, if you would, please.
Hey, can everybody hear me? Sound okay? Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Annalisa Purdy. One of the things that I'm keeping in mind while looking at the progression of these coins is how we can continue to appeal to those dyed-in-the-wool hardcore collectors while also bringing new people into coin collecting and thinking about representations of liberty that speak to them, that are more nuanced and that speak to what's imperative to them, to what's important to them, while still hearkening back to that imagery that's familiar to them. And I do agree that the U.S. has a great deal of grain diversity, of diversity in the natural world in terms of its flora, and many of these plants and elements of the natural world do take on certain symbolic elements and are representations of liberty for people, whether they're in different regions or in certain states. So moving forward, and the artists have done a wonderful job across the board, both in detail in terms of representation, I would also give them free rein to think more about concentrating on different elements of the natural world and what these elements represent to people during certain time periods in American history, as well as in that regional area. You know, flowers and plants can evoke very strong meanings, and in coinage as well can be representatives of the character of a nation, of a state, but also evoke an emotional response in terms of what that represents to their history. So that is something that I would like to see moving forward and just diving into. There is a lot of untapped potential here, and I think that we're definitely moving in the right direction. So giving our artists, who again, wonderful, shout out to them, these are beautiful, Reen, to explore that and thinking about those untapped elements that we can continue to bring out for established as well as potential new point enthusiasts would be something to look forward to. Thank you.
All right, Annalisa, thank you very much. For my own comments, just want to begin by saying that I think a good number of you know that I commute across New York Harbor to and from work, so pass by the Statue of Liberty twice a day. And over the course of the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking a great deal about that statue and also representations of liberty, both in three-dimensional statue, but also on coinage, of course, and how this tradition of representing liberty or a personification of libertas began already in the second century BC on Roman coinage, for example, where you had this representation of libertas as a woman and this Peleus cap and the vindicta, the staff, also appearing alongside this imagery, and how this has continued, you know, across the centuries. And of course, continued with the very earliest of the US coins, and to some extent continues to this day too, you know, in this program. And this representation, of course, is a representation of libertas or liberty as this sort of freedom from political oppression. You know, the freedom for individuals to form a community to govern themselves, essentially, rather than having a despot or tyrant of some sort lording it over them. But at the same time, I think in some of our recent coins, such as the Bucking Mustang, as well as the tree to some extent, there is this notion of sort of American individualism, that liberty is sort of a form of personal freedom and personal expression that has also been expressed to some degree. So I've been thinking actually about this idea, again, of liberty as freedom from political oppression, and how this really is a community project. And to an extent, picking up on what Kellen, you know, just said, that how we as a community, we as a nation, you know, need to continually defend liberty as this sort of participation in governing and attempt to stave off oppression, you know, political oppression. So what I would like to see actually is a sense of community expressed somehow in a representation of liberty. Again, I don't really have a notion of how that would be portrayed artistically, but I think just a sense of community, again, would be something that the artist might want to consider and ways to depict that. And with that, I'll ask if there are any questions or motions from the committee members at this time. Don, your hand is raised. You're muted.
I just wanted to say one
thing. Wait, Donald, John,
sure.
First.
Yeah. John, go.
I just had a further thought, thinking of, again, of Sam's comments about our collector base liking classics, and my idea of seeing something soaring, whether it be a ship or something else to depict freedom. There's a great coin that has Pegasus on the back, a Corinthian stater soaring, and some sort of modern rendition of the Pegasus soaring into the space. I don't know that Pegasus itself is associated with freedom, but certainly flying and its ability to fly away, I think would be symbolic of freedom. And I think it'd be a great mixture of a classic image, but with a modernization to it that might make a great coin.
Thank you, John. Donald, your hand is raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to say just one last thing. I happen to be speaking next week for Coin Week on the topic of using contemporary culture and contemporary folk images and other things on world coins. And the talk that I'll be doing is about this very topic, you know, to show how this process of looking to come up with, you know, national themes that relate to the 21st century Latvian or the 31st century French person or the 21st century American. This is going on worldwide. And, we are, in essence, looking forward this year to several licensed coins and which have been announced by the Mint. I think that attempt that's happening worldwide right now is very similar to what we're doing. Some mints are taking on the challenge by doing art metal programs, right? That's one way to do it, producing, you know, silver metals or silver or bronze metals, you know, that sell, to see how things go, right? I mean, there are no answers to this. The artists, we're looking for the answers, and quite frankly, all of you, are really, you really have educated me about, how you see things from all different parts of America. That's the beauty of a committee like we have in the United States, because it's such a big country with different aesthetics and different views and different backgrounds. And, having a committee like this, we really inform one another and help one another struggle through this process that the whole world is struggling through. It's not just us. So if you want, Noble. So as a commercial, I'm sure Doug Mudd will make the video available to the CCAC members if you can't make it next week on Zoom.
All right. Thank you very much, Donald. Any other comments or questions from the committee members? All right. Does the Mint have anything to share with the committee regarding any of the issues that have come up? All right. Well, in that case, if all of our discussion and questions have been concluded, I would like to thank the CCAC members, the Mint staff, and the public for their attendance today. As always, upcoming public meetings will be announced in the Federal Register. And at this time, I will entertain a motion to adjourn our meeting.
This is Art Bernstein. I move adjournment.
Kellen Horde seconds.
Thank you, Kellen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Imagine there are. All right. Well, thank you very much. And we will see you next time. Enjoy your afternoon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, good people.
Meeting has ended at 2:43.